if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I shaved my beard. What do you think, guys? It's been, I must have had a beard for 20 years. I've not shaved my beard for 20 years, and here we are. I did it for multiple reasons. First, I want to encourage myself to lose 10 to 20 more pounds that I'm left that I would like to lose. And the beard, you know, hides your neck fat. Whereas if I shave my beard, now I see my neck fat in the mirror. I'm like, okay, you have to eat even less. And so it's to give myself some feedback to help myself in my diet. I've already lost a lot of pounds, but I think that I would like to have less fat here on the cheeks, less fat here. And so I'm also working on my jaw positioning, jaw posture. I'm truly into looks maxing. It's like, and I don't know why. I'm not particularly fascinated about looks maxing, but I think clavicular's appeal has thrown me onto that path. I've decided I have to care about my level of beauty better. And it's also like, I'm about to fuck a woman into the stratosphere, like in a monogamous manner, and holy shit, I was looking at the youth these days, the kind of woman who are fertile for 10, 11 babies, and it's like, wow, my beard is too 90s for these girls. I mean, these girls are way too beautiful. I cannot just come with my 90s Sum 41 beard like I'm some boomer at a beach. I have to integrate the new styles, and the new styles are less hair oriented. Gen Z is much less hairy. So I've decided, with all these factors taken into consideration, I must adjust to the world. I've just accepted. You know, I used to be stubborn, like, I am who I am. I don't care anymore. I let the universe rape me. Go ahead, tell me what kind of face I need to have to be successful with one of these fucking hot women. Need Staff says, Clav wants baby, JF wants to look smacks. Isn't that fascinating? So that's my target right now. I think I'm not so far from this. I mean, I've already shaved my beard. I have to build my biceps a little bit. I'm working constantly with, even when I do research during the day for the live stream, I'm working with my weights. I'm checking my jaw posture. I'm checking the structure of my bone face. Marby Dog says, be careful, JF, check ID, guard your wallet, guard your heart, guard your liberty. Oh, don't worry, I'm the last person you need to educate on how to protect my money from woman. Okay. I've been divorced rape, I feel like, 15 times. ELDR says, best thing for keeping young, but the thing is with these divorce rapes, they didn't succeed very much. They didn't get much from me. They can run away with a little bit of the breadcrumbs. I always leave breadcrumbs around just to test women. I always leave my little Bitcoin breadcrumbs to test their morality, really. You just leave it on the table right there. Your 20 seeds, 24 seed words. Let's see how this bitch reacts. Martel says, when do you start steroid, Jeff? Never, never, never. Because when you enter in the domain of steroid, you enter in the domain where there is an actual conflict. Now, you want to be more beautiful to attract women, but you are less fertile, and less fertile for real. ELDR says, did you guys see Tom Sewell's political project got shut down? No, I don't know about it. I'll have to go read about it. I haven't seen these news. So we'll talk today about the story of Chud the Builder because I'm receiving insults for my take of yesterday. Leftists are pissed and my take is not so deep and it's actually a principled take. We need to talk about it because it's a story that has multiple subtleties. It's a story that is deeper than people think. And yes, it's more about free speech than people think. Even Andrew Wilson is saying, no, JF, he's right. This guy who's criticizing you, this has nothing to do with free speech. Well, wait a minute. Chud the Builder has been arrested for shooting a guy during his... Well, not necessarily during a live stream, because we haven't seen the live stream of this. It is claimed that maybe he was online, that maybe he was on Pump.fun, which is an alternative crypto-based streaming platform for his type of edgy streaming. But he was coming out of a courthouse, and he was coming out of a courthouse because he had a case of bankruptcy. So basically, he's involved in some bankruptcy case where he has too much debt and he has to pay. It seems that he's involved in some sort of financial supervision deal with the court. And he was coming out of the courthouse, perhaps filmed, perhaps not filmed. If he was filmed and if he was on stream somehow, none of his audience has been able to record the last minutes of his stream because we still don't have the data. And it appears that at the moment where things got violent, the stream was deleted. So we don't have a trace of what happened on that stream. We have other people filming from very far and too late. Too late to see exactly what is the sequence of event. So, Chud the Builder, I didn't know about him at all before yesterday. So apparently he's a sensation, but he's such an edgy streamer that he's not even accepted on Kick. So we're talking about an extremely radical, edgy streamer. His pattern is to do IRL streaming, in which he goes out to provoke people with deep racial slurs. So literally just going on the streets and calling people the N-word and other things. So extremely provocative streamer who rose in popularity, got eventually rejected from Kick, and ended up streaming this extreme content on Pump.fun in the latest iteration. And I want to be clear, a lot of people have stood in solidarity with him. A lot of people have stood against him. And I will say there are arguments on all sides that are valid here. First, do I support what he does? Is that clever? No. A priori, yes, you are looking for trouble. And so here, I agree with Nick Fuentes. I agree with many other people on the right who have said, look, this you're really looking for trouble. I agree with this at the primary level of analysis. But I'd like also to bring a principled position here, which is that we should not expect that such a thing as free artistic speech can be expected, or that you should know, or that you should expect, really. We shouldn't impose that expectation that any speech will lead you to be physically assaulted. And that's because this is the law. There are all sorts of speech that are regulated, even under the First Amendment, that are not protected by the First Amendment. And a lot of people are confused when they bring this issue to me yesterday, insulting me. There is such a thing as fighting words. So fighting words is, there's no First Amendment protection if a sentence is about insults to an individual directly. Now, fighting words doesn't mean you can therefore punch me in the face. Fighting words is a very limited restriction onto the First Amendment that applies to the police has the right to arrest you for certain types of speech, like when you do public disorder. The police has the right to arrest you for public disorder, even if it was just speech. Why? Because of the fighting words doctrine. Same thing for confrontation with the police, trying to stop the police work. If your speech was meant to disrupt the work of a policeman, it doesn't really matter. You're not protected by the First Amendment just because it was through speech. You were effectively obstructing. So this is the fighting word doctrine. The fighting word doctrine, unlike what people seem to believe when they insult me, doesn't mean that you can get punched or that you can get attacked or that you can get your life threatened because of speech. That's a very important note to have here. My point is, there is a problem in this country with a double standard on language where we are giving up to the left in terms of their desire to impose onto certain words, especially racial words like the N-word. And we are being asked to consider this domain as automatically waiving your rights to physical safety. In other words, we are saying those words, we will allow violent escalation with them. And this has been going on, and it's so endemic that yesterday, like, thousands of people were basically telling me, oh, you should have expected. Whether you should have expected or not, that's a separate question. The thing is, this guy is doing very provocative art in a way that implements a kind of audit onto our society. And, you know, audits are rough. You know, there were these guys with gun rights. What do? Well, they take an AK, AK-47 or an AR-15. They put it on their elbows like they're going to a school shooting, and they just walk onto the highway. And that is a test of our Second Amendment rights. And it became a big video trend back in my day on YouTube. So there is such a thing as testing whether you have your rights. And in a way, I would suggest that Chad the Builder, although his content can be readily seen as crass by anyone, and it's very hard to make an intellectual case when it's that low of a level. But I believe there is something there. I believe there is something of an audit, of an intellectual quest, and I believe that what Chad the Builder's art was meant to show us is look what happened when you use your First Amendment right in America. Because there's no question that everything he's ever said on his stream qualifies as First Amendment protected, was art, and in my view, was provocative street art. So that's one important factor to consider. I don't think Chad the Builder is that empty as people seem to consider him. I've been watching myself hours of his stuff today because I didn't know about him. And I'll say I was shocked by various philosophical considerations. So his content made me think. His content made me think, like, there was this guy, he insults him racially, everything. The guy turns around in car, He shows a gun. So it's been making me think about the process of escalation and what is the first act of violence? When do things convert between words to violence? When does it become legitimate? And I have to say that seeing the behavior of Chad the Builder in this video, this guy has technique and respects certain principles. For example, when he was confronted with a guy replying with brandishing a weapon, the other guy was brandishing a weapon, Chad the Builder was never approaching the car. He was always walking away in bravado while yelling his insults. So he knew that if I approached the car, I could be argued to have made a confrontation, to have wanted to escalate the confrontation. Therefore, he was walking away. He does that a lot, and he makes it clear. When he moves, for example, to the pepper spray threat, when he pulls out his pepper spray, it's because the other guy has touched his hat. So that's a physical altercation. So he escalates to a physical level when the other has done the escalation himself. All of this to say, this guy, we don't know what happened exactly at the day he was arrested for the shooting. But we know that he's been on the record following extremely principled escalation techniques that are always justified in law in what I've seen up to now. So just to say, in the absence of a video of the confrontation and in the absence of statement by Chud the Builder about what exactly happened, I would tend to believe that this guy, if he pulled a gun, and he did, apparently, would have done it in a process of thought where he felt justified to pull that gun. And so it's very early to make final calls about what will happen with this trial. But all I'll say is, based on his past behavior, this guy seems to be overly rational and over... Although the context is crass and lowbrow. The context is extreme, crass, lowbrow art. But in general, I've seen him act rationally and always at the limit of the law. Always ensuring that he was making step backs, ensuring that he was not escalating while also using verbal kind of provocations. So that's what we have here. That's the situation we're in. As far as what actually happened on the shooting, so we don't know, but based on some people are claiming they were seeing his stream before it got pulled out. So those are claims. Those are not confirmed witnesses. Some people are thinking that they saw some of the action the moment it happened. And then there's the authorities claiming that they have some knowledge about the events. And there's fans of Chud the Builder who defend him and who say they have their own view about what happened. So here's what we know and the various claims along the situation. So we know that Chud the Builder ended up pulling a gun and shot in a very disorganized way toward the stomach of the black guy. The black guy is this guy who appears to be politically involved to some extent. I've been watching his Twitter account, and he's been making some comments about race and injustice before in the context of politics. The guy is named Joshua Fox, and he said on that day, Chud the Builder attacked me. I will not be silenced. He wanted to come out in a video to explain the whole situation, but but his lawyer eventually told him that not to make a video. So now he's just tweeting, and he's tweeted very loose information, but nothing in detail. But basically his claim is, I was not the primary initiator of this conflict. He was. There are other people who claim who got it wrong and who misdirected toward another Twitter account. It wasn't him. So lots of false information circulating. There are people who claim that Joshua Fox drove to Hanoi, specifically Chud the Builder. We don't have confirmation of this claim. We'll know at the trial, I guess, or before that. We'll know eventually why was Joshua Fox there at the courthouse where Chud the Builder was coming out. Was it because the records and the dockets of a court are always public? So if someone wanted to know where will Chud the Builder be in an hour from now, they would know that he was at the court. So it's possible that he got confronted at the court by Joshua Fox because Joshua Fox somehow knew that he was there. What's happening is that Chud the Builder, because of his art, has been, of course, the subject of heavy harassment and heavy targeting by like Antifa types and leftists of all kind and anti-racist who probably don't have an appreciation for this level of provocation. And so he regularly gets threatened. And as his life targeted with harassments of all kind. And so he gets out of the courthouse. A confrontation ensues. Now, the black guy claims that, Joshua Fox claims that Chud the Builder made a movement toward his weapon. And that this would have incited Joshua Fox to charge or to increase the level of the confrontation wherever it was at. Now that's it's like sometimes, you know, when people make a move toward their gun or toward something, it's for the purpose of threatening. It's for the purpose of saying, look, I have a gun, let's not escalate. I've always said it, you know, dog barks are pacific. Because dog barks are signals that tell you, don't do this or I'll bite you. It's like a warning signal. But Joshua Fox appears to have interpreted the movement of the hand toward the gun, which normally, when you see this, don't take it as, I need to escalate the situation. Take it as, oh, wow, this guy is reasonable enough that he's telling me, let's de-escalate the situation because it could turn violent. That's how you should interpret a movement of hand toward a holster. So that's the claim. We don't know, though. Why would Chud the Builder have taken the hand toward his gun? And is it even enough to qualify as an escalatory tactic that justifies physical violence? I don't know that it is. It's very limit, but I don't know that it is for sure. So we don't know what Chud has to say about this. Was it the case that Joshua Fox was making threats? Was it the case that his movement of hand toward the holster was meant to calm down the situation, to de-escalate and to say, look, there's potential for someone to get hurt here, let's calm down stuff. So we don't know this. We'll know this as the situation progresses. It would appear that a bullet made it through the stomach toward the stomach region of Joshua Fox. He got carried out of an ambulance. However, this wasn't a clean shot, and it was as part of a brawl. And so it was as part of a brawl in a way that led also some other bullets to graze Chud the Builder himself. So there was probably a struggle for the firearm here. Lauren says there's no video or they won't release it. For now, there's no video. We don't know if Pump.Fun has kept a copy of the stream, maybe that they gave to the police, but there is no video on the internet available on it. So then there was the grazing of Chud the Builder, who also got carried by ambulance. It would appear that Chud the Builder is now charged for attempted murder, use of a gun as part of a felony, planned to murder or something around that kind of stuff. So he's being charged with a big charge. And Joshua Fox appears to be charged with some sort of physical assault, although he's already out of jail since he's tweeting and Chud the Builder isn't tweeting. So clearly the case is already veered toward Chud the Builder being taken for the big case here rather than Joshua Fox. And that's it. Chud the Builder's bail has been declared at $1.25 million, which probably Chud the Builder will not be able to pay, given that he was already in fraud court and debt court of some kind. The judge has highlighted that the reason he was giving this harsh bail was that he was already in some sort of bail status due to his appearance at the court, and that there were many people on the scene, therefore there was much potential for hurt from the shooting.
Bond at $1.25 million. Based upon the fact of how many people were in the courtyard, were here at the courthouse, and the seriousness of all these felonies. and his bond status. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So there's Chad the Builder right there in jail at Rail. And Nick Fuentes has commented on this. Nick Fuentes is always a guy who likes to stay away from trouble. So he doesn't like the lowbrow stuff. And I understand. I think that strategically, Nick Fuentes' position makes sense. I am perhaps a little more of an edgy guy and a guy who cares about principled liberty, freedom of speech, and principled stances. Nick is a pragmatic guy, so this is not a critique of Nick. But Nick, of course, says, you know, if you go around harassing people, expect to be physically assaulted. However, my take on this is there's a hidden acceptation of violence in our society when we say this. It's a normalization of the violence process. And the fact is that you should be able to speak in a very, very edgy way in America and still be protected by the First Amendment. And the big problem is that if you give up on this principle, you let the left basically cede anarcho-tyranny to control our minds. And, you know, it may seem like a stretch, but I don't think it's a stretch. I think that if you don't let the art come from the side of Chad the Builder and from the side of a racially conscious view or a right-wing view or whatever side you try to oppress with language, the left has been trying this with so many things. Gender, forced pronouns, that kind of stuff. But they've also been very successful at doing it with racial language. And this idea that racial language is legal in America, but that the state can rely on a private army of anarcho-tyrannist communists, basically, to ensure that you're going to get in trouble in some way, and the people who cause you this trouble, they're never going to get arrested. The Antifa kind that disrupts these streams and all. The fact that still Richard Spencer has been punched. Has the guy who's punched Richard Spencer ever been arrested? I'd like to know. But see, this problem is when you grant just this idea that you looked for trouble with speech, you open up a whole army of private enforcement of speech obligations in America. And that is absolutely a free speech issue. To Andrew Wilson, you're wrong. I'm willing to debate you if you'd like. You're wrong, Andrew. This is a free speech issue. This is an artist who, I don't know if he was, we don't know that he even was streaming with the intent of being provocative. As far as I can tell, he was streaming because he was just getting out of jail, if he was streaming at all. No one has a copy of this stream. But he was not in a circumstance, apparently, where he was engaging in his usual nightly performance, which is to actively seek provocation and kind of harass people with verbal insults. And to anyone who says, JF, harassment is not protected under the First Amendment. Well, you know what else is not protected under the First Amendment? Physical assault in reaction to harassment. Like, if you're getting harassed, and if that harassment is verbal, you do have a duty not to escalate to physical violence. You do have a duty to retreat in most places in America. There's no castle doctrine for insults. There's no, like, you called me an asshole, therefore I can shoot you, or you called me an asshole, therefore I can punch you. This is not on the books. So this is a much subtler issue than people want to put it when they debate with me on Twitter. This is a free speech issue because there is a secret army of private communist citizens who are effectively enforcing an unwritten law. And this was my question to Andrew Wilson when he came at me. He said, it's not about free speech. Well, if there was a law that says, if you said the N-word, you waive your right to self-defense for the next 5 minutes. would that law be a violation of the First Amendment? Yes, it would. Because it would say, oh, you lose some rights because you use that right of speech. So it would be a violation of the First Amendment. My point to you, Andrew, and to all others is there is effectively a law like this in America. It's just not written on paper. It's this secret law through which the communists feel entitled to attack us, to ruin our lives, to be physically violent for our words. And when I say our words, I mean political thinkers, artists, speakers. They all feel entitled to give you a little more trouble, to dox you, to send others to your house, to harass you, to lie about you. And then they have a whole system of collaboration through the courts that ensure that these effects are not punished and that they go through and that we don't have recourse to recover from these damages. So effectively, you have a sort of omerta around a systematic violation of the First Amendment in America, where implicitly everyone believes and feels that they should expect violence in response to certain words, particularly the words of racial consciousness. Marby Dog says, JF is consistent in his interpretation of First Amendment. No credible threat equals no justification for violence. Exactly. And so as far as, are you entitled to run and charge toward a guy who makes a movement toward his gun? It's not an empty claim here. I wouldn't tell you right away, no. I would tell you there's probably a big weighting of the mind that needs to happen in the jury in those cases. Because there are certain situations where grabbing the cannon of a weapon, we've seen it in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Here, that was an inverted case. So here, Kyle Rittenhouse on his first shot, and Kyle Rittenhouse was declared not guilty by jury. Kyle Rittenhouse on his first shot explained the following. So this guy was charging me. So the communist was charging him. Kyle Rittenhouse was feeling that he was about to grab the cannon of the weapon. Kyle Rittenhouse shot the guy and killed him, I believe. I believe he was one of the three dead. And the jury decided to grant the interpretation of Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse was justified in thinking, this guy is about to grab my gun. He appears to be wanting to steal it from me, to shoot me. Therefore, I should shoot him. That was a valid thinking in that situation. Now, I don't know that all of these elements transfer to the black guy today. I don't know that all of these elements transfer to Joshua Fox, because what he's trying to argue is, if you just make a movement toward your holster, therefore, you are about to commit an act of violence, and therefore Joshua Fox would have been justified in charging or somehow physically building the altercation which shot the builder, leading to the tumble, leading to the grazing, and leading to the unclear bullet shots that ended up hurting both of them. It's not an empty defense that cannot work, but you'll have, in the case of the jury's mind, you'll have to have 12 people who say that makes sense. And I don't know if we'll have this. I think it's very possible that we'll have this. But basically, you have to convince the jury that objectively, this was the right thing to do for your security. And you were justified in your beliefs of death threat. Now, it's kind of a shortcut to say, well, anyone who makes a hand movement toward their holster, you should charge them from a distance. I think that in 99% of the cases, you are endangering yourself. If I see someone who has his hand toward his holster in a threatening way, my first interpretation is this is most likely a threat. It's most likely in my advantage to de-escalate. Now, there's a difference if he removes it, points the gun at me, or has given signs to me that he was intending to kill me, or if it's in a situation where it can only be an assassin truly going after me. Now, in all those situations, it would absolutely make sense to believe any movement toward the holster is just indicative of my upcoming death. That is an easy case to make to a jury. But in the current situation, with a Chud the Builder, will probably have his own story, of his own telling of the events. There's going to be a much harder case to make for Joshua Fox. Not saying he's not going to succeed, because we know the racially biased way in which this process will go. I'm sure it will go in a racially biased way. Anti-white and anti-Chud the Builder. But still, I don't think that the chances are completely off for Chud the Builder. Because here, Chud the Builder will be telling the complete story here. And this may include elements that Joshua Fox was overly provocative, was trying to escalate, that the movement toward his holster was solely a movement to demonstrate some degree of warning. And in front of a reasonable explanation, it may very well be that the story, he moved his hand, therefore I thought I was going to die. It may very well be the case that this story doesn't pass in one of the jury's minds. And if that is the case, what we would have is an unjustified physical assault by Joshua Fox, which escalated this conflict. I don't know what will happen, but those are my thoughts at the moment, and I have a very nuanced thoughts on this. This, despite the fact that people have hated on my tweet is a principled stance. My tweet is saying, in principle, in America, we should be able to say everything, and we're not. And there's a private army of assassins and violent people who are ensuring that speech is still oppressed in America. And they are sometimes in collaboration with the judge, the justice system, the police. They all participate to this system in tolerating the Antifa criminals and overly arresting the artists like Chud the Builder. Diod the Anarchist says, is there a video of this event? I don't know the context, to be honest. We don't have a video yet. We have just tellings of various parties. And so right now I'm doing a map of everything that could happen and how it looks for the case. I'm doing a map and there may never be video. Pump.fun has retracted the video at the moment it happened. Maybe they kept a copy. Maybe we'll see it at the trial. It's a close case, much closer than people make it out to be. Here are some of the false assumptions that I've seen on the internet, but not necessarily seen proven. A lot of people are assuming Chud the Builder must have been harassing this guy. Now, I don't know that Chud the Builder was in a nightly streaming context. I don't know that he was filming himself for the purpose of racial provocation. That's what he does at night in his IRL stream. Now, if he was filming himself at all, it was in the context of getting out of the courthouse. And we don't know that as he was getting out of the courthouse, that he was playing his usual role of being racially offensive. We don't know that he was yelling at this guy first. We don't know why this guy was there. We don't know why Jason Fox was there. Was he just a UPS driver passing by, having absolutely nothing to do? Or was he coming here to look for trouble because he knew Chud the Builder would be here? Everything is possible. But there are people who are rooting for Chud the Builder are pointing out that that there seemed to even be some surprise in Chud the Builder, in that he said, oh, you wanna do this? They use a term, which I will not repeat it, but you want to do the thing. And so he was not necessarily looking for this to happen. It seems that it was kind of a surprise that it happened at that moment going out of the courthouse. Another thing is that there are past statements of Chad the Builder on X, which I cannot repeat in full here, but that are extremely bad for Chad the Builder in terms of a trial strategy. They are terrible. So Chad the Builder has been, especially in the last 7 days, but apparently at various moments of his rise to fame, he's been effectively saying on Twitter, the season finale of my art is that there will be someone bleed, and you know, he used the most disgusting racially sensitive terms, but he said there will be someone bleeding on the ground and I will have to use my gun to defend myself because there's so many other people harassing me that at this point there's no question that I will have to defend myself because everyone keeps harassing me and threatening me and saying they will hurt me. And at the end of it, I will walk free from the trial because it will have been self-defense. And you guys, and he's talking about the communists, the left, the anti-racist, you guys are going to be out there rioting because I'm free, because I walk free. So that is a level of insurance. He said that like 6 days or 7 days before the events happened, before he got arrested for this attempted murder charge. Now, this a lot of detractors of his are saying this is indicative of premeditation. Well, wait a minute. Sometimes you engage in a premeditation of something that you don't want to have to happen, but that you feel you're not going to have a choice. Like, self-defense is self-defense, whether it's premeditated or not. Now, because of the racial language he uses in those tweets, this may very well be presented to move a jury, and the jury will say, oh, wow, he was so evil. But that speaks to my point again. The fact that these words will be shown to a jury and that they may very well be influencing the jury as to evaluating the facts is a problem for speech. Because what we have here is an artist who's basically saying, I'm willing to sacrifice my life to make a point. I'm willing to risk dying. And let me tell you, I've seen the streams. This guy risked dying multiple times. This guy is straight downtown harassing people, like people in luxury cars with guns that they can pull at any time. And definitely his art was a risk to his life. But the message of Chad the Builder through all this, if I can feel, I think I can feel it, was probably around the lines of, I'm about to sacrifice my life and risk death or imprisonment forever because I want to make a point. And the point is, even if you follow all of the rules of escalation, even if you use only speech and you use only threats in response to physical violence and you use only guns in response to a threat to your life, even down the line, you will have one of the private army of the communists to come oppress your speech. Now, that is radical art. I mean, it's scary. And don't do this. Don't do this at home. Don't emulate him as a model. No, it's really not a good idea to do this. But he did it. He chose that path for himself. Extremely, I cannot recommend enough, don't do it, okay? It is not good. Not good for you. But he chose that path. Now, we can also talk about the psychology of Chad the Builder. Why did he choose that path? Well, if I understand correctly, all of the stories that are being told about him, so he's in a situation of despair. In fact, he had the visit of the police maybe 3 days before these events happened. And they had told him that they were scared that he was about to commit an act of violence. So probably he was reported for his extreme streaming. And it is basically his threats on X indicating this is how it's going to happen. And he was in a situation of despair in life. It seems that he has a child, but that he probably was in a divorce where he cannot see the child anymore. It seems also that he was involved in some sort of bankruptcy, fraud, or whatever. He had to pay something back to the justice system. So he was truly trapped and painted into a corner, while also rising as a radical art personality of the IRL streaming world. So it seems to me that what we have is a case of someone who has decided to make a ultimate case, a ultimate philosophical case. And he set up to do it the cleanliest he could. It was lowbrow and it was offensive. But I believe there is something in Chad the Builder that was motivated at doing something good for humanity, but in a situation of personal despair. I believe that he had the mentality of a sacrificial kamikaze. A sacrificial kamikaze for the concept of American liberty. And he thought, I might die, I might end up in jail, but at least I'll make that point. And my life is so desperate anyways, it's not like society has anything else to offer to me. So this is not a case of a thoughtless streamer who was pushed down some radicalism that he didn't control and that was purely driven out of anger. This is a much finer case than people make it out to be. And I'm sure that 99% of the people arguing about this with me on X, I'm sure they haven't seen these streams. And I'm sure they haven't went through the psychological process of this guy. Cat's Dead says, Jeff, I don't fully agree with you, but your take is very principled. I believe, whether I'm right or wrong, a principled take is always a take in the clouds. So I acknowledge this. Principled takes are, by definition, untied to reality. The reality is obviously stacks of dirty, more dirty than the principled view I took. But I believe that I have perceived in Chad the Builder this philosophical motivation. And that is true whether you consider it a morally just cause or not. I believe that was his motivation. I believe I've seen enough traces of what he does, how he does it, that this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to make a radical audit of freedom of speech. Yes, Roddy listened. It's an audit. It's the question of, if I speak freely and follow all of the rules, how long does it take before the system turns against me? How long does it take before the little rat soldiers of the system come to do the oppression that the system cannot do on paper? Wooden Shot says, reality is unpleasant, but Chud went IRL despite that. Yes, he didn't take the comfortable route of being a studio streamer. I mean, it's a story that is moving me much more than I expected. I thought this was just going to be like these cheap IRL stream of provocative and shit content. But it's more than this. It's shittier than the shit content. It's more lowbrow than the lowbrow. And it's also more philosophical than I thought. We have to think more clearly about escalation of violence in America. Because America is loaded up with guns. And it's a problem that the little refinements of the verbal to physical, he's punching me, is that violent enough that I can shoot back? Is he trying to reach for my gun? All of this should be clearer in America. because we have a loaded up population that is filled with rage, filled with despair, and looking sometimes for trouble. A lot of people who end up in trouble, I would include Chad the Builder in it, of course, and perhaps Joshua Fox. But a lot of people who end up in trouble wanted trouble that day. And that's a problem. It's a problem that for every disparate person, a crime must occur. Because very clearly, this was going to happen. Chad the Builder said it himself on X. So it was going to happen. It happened. Tim Dwanling says, it doesn't matter. There is, it's not real audit because the outcome of a specific case is never going to be, but to reliably predict the outcome of a future case. Well, an audit sometimes simply has the purpose of illustrating to the whole world, this is the situation. So sometimes an audit is a sacrifice of a human being. If you do an audit of gun rights, for example, by walking with a gun outside, and the police ends up shooting you, then that was your demonstration. That was the audit. The audit is you die. And sometimes that's the goal of an audit. Sometimes people want to make themselves the goat to be sacrificed on the cross of their principles. And I've talked about this a lot. This is what motivates a lot of violence in society. School shootings are almost always this. It's almost always someone who is desperate personally, but who wants to elevate his desperation into a message to the world. That's why I say there are only two ingredients to a school shooting, and it's for all school shootings: despair and a mission. And I believe that Chad the Builder had despair. I believe he had a mission. I believe that Joshua Fox may also have had despair and a mission. We'll see with the case. We have to check what led him to be motivated to interact with Chad the Builder. Was this a long thing planned? Was this Chad the Builder first? We have to see. Greg Otte says, it's crazy to me to see all these imbecilic takes calling Chad stupid. He knew what he was getting into. You're just too much of a coward to stand up for your principles like Chad has. Not you, JF. Yeah. The take I'm doing tonight, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. Anywhere. So there doesn't seem to be much people around who have thought it through here. We are definitely in a script that was written in Chad the Builder's mind more than a month ago. And whether he was right about this script, whether what he thought would happen, he may be right or he may be wrong. But it's a possibility, and it's to be noted that all of that is intentional. All of that happened in a way that was predictable, but he chose that path. Now, a lot of people revert this into saying, well, if he chose that path, then he provoked the fight. Suppose we were in a religiously oppressive society. And I know that if you go out with a Bible on the streets, you have 50% chance of getting shot. Suppose that I was interested at highlighting to the world, look, this is how Christians are oppressed in this civilization, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to go out with a Bible, and I can guarantee to you that I'm very likely someone's going to shoot me. If I was to do this, and then I was to find that, hey, there's a chance for self-defense. Oh, someone comes to oppress my rights. I have my Bible, but I also have a gun, and I defend myself. I don't think it would be fair to say I've been provoking the fight because I went out with my Bible. I think you can intend to victimize yourself to some extent, but it still doesn't justify the victimization. It still doesn't say the other person will therefore be found not guilty. Now, you may waive some rights to complain. I believe that Chad the Builder maybe has waived some rights to complain, but he didn't waive the right to be not physically assaulted. So it's not because you perform a very weird and ununderstood type of art that you necessarily give up your rights not to be assaulted. And that's why I think the system had to at least make a display of a charge. A display of a charge that they were charging Joshua Fox with physical assault, although they released him from jail. For those people that I block on X, JF has blocked me on X. I block on X if you're extremely aggressive, lying, or uninsightful, if you do strawman. And if you got blocked on X, it's because I truly judge that your content was not connecting to mine in an honest way. And you are eliminated from my life. Don't come here and complain about it. I don't give a shit. 99% of the people of this earth are fucking retarded, and you may be one of them. And the only way I can survive in living a healthy life is by just pushing you guys out of my circle of existence. And it's a mistake to think that you can only get blocked by me on X because you say something super evil about me or you talk about my private life. I block people on X for philosophical inaccuracies. Okay? So very often I will block you on X because you do a straw man. You commit a fallacy. A fallacy that I can be sure. Because when I'm not sure, I'm like, you know what, let's tolerate this guy. But when I'm sure that you're definitely not representing my words properly, then I consider that you are toxic to the discussion. And I block you mostly because I don't want you to be able to reply to future tweets. Because I have an intention, which is an improvement of public discourse in honesty. And I block people all the time because you've committed a mistake. Always reread my tweets. If you're going to be critical against me, reread my tweets. My tweet didn't exactly say what you said. Dead Star says, if you were banned, write JF a nice email about why you should be unbanned. Yeah, sure. I'm willing to take someone who is apologetic and who also, you have to give me the link to your original message, why I banned you. Because I have to reevaluate and say, did this guy commit an honest mistake? Is this guy salvageable? Could this guy have made just an error and he's going to get better? Those are things I will take into account. Ryan says, JF, why haven't they taken Nick out? Well, they tried hard. assassination attempt, financial cancellation, fly list barring, platforms deplatforming him. They have effectively tried everything they could. So your question is not properly formulated. It's not why haven't they taken Nick out. Is why haven't they succeeded? They haven't succeeded because there is still place for truth in this world. And there is still a sliver of actual competitive marketplace of ideas that can survive on the internet despite the shit around it. And somehow Nick has the talent to wage it and to push it further. So that's why. It's not that they haven't tried. It's that they haven't succeeded. Watson says, I have spoken with you on X and our conversation was good. I appreciate your contribution. Oh yeah, if you come at me with fair representation of what I say and just engagement of any kind, even hostile and critical, I will give you absolutely good faith answer to your points. But I hate when the flood of stupid people come to me and they don't master their own concepts. They don't know the arguments they're making. They don't understand how they don't connect to what I've actually said. Always reread. This is one of the greatest defects of public conversation right now. People don't listen. They don't read properly. they read quickly and then they emit an opinion. If you go at me with critique, be sure of one thing, that you read correctly what I said. Sometimes there are subtleties in my writing. Sometimes I'm saying, like, for example, a lot of people thought my tweet, which is the principled stance of you shouldn't be physically assaulted if you just speak. There should be no thing that you can say and yell on the streets that justifies the transition from speech to violence. Perhaps except a direct threat of the kind, I'm about to take my gun and shoot you. I'm about to do it. Like, okay, maybe this, but there should be no other insults of any kind that justify the transition from words to violence. That was my principled point, and a lot of people were saying, JF, you think he's gonna win? You have no idea how the legal process works. Well, I haven't said any of this. I haven't said he's gonna win. I haven't said Chad the Builder has a big chance to win. I don't think he has a big chance. We've seen what happens with Derek Chauvin. What I think is that the system is unjust, that I am afraid that he will not have a just process that actually frames what I've framed in this dream right here, which is there was here truly an art, an act of art that was happening or that may have been even pre-motivating Joshua Fox in being there in the first place. And we have ultimately here a private enforcement of a state ban on the words that leftists don't want to be used. And that's a sad thing. And we need to confront this because under every spectacular act like this one, which has been basically offered to you as entertainment, as a proof, as a public audit, there is so much oppression of speech that goes unspoken. How many white people do you think can walk in a black neighborhood, in Atlanta, wherever, and know that they have to walk on eggshells on everything they say? This is speech oppression happening on a daily basis. There are some people who don't like the oppression so much, they won't even go to the neighborhood. There are some people who know, I don't want to get in trouble, I don't know what I would have to say. I'm just not going to engage at all. I'm not going to go to that neighborhood. Or you know, you can see these boomers who are extremely tactful when they talk of race and they feel obliged to push some leftist theme in the conversation. All of this is speech oppression that's happening on a background of a threat of violence. The ongoing threat of violence that if you say the wrong thing, some Antifa guy, some black guy, some other guy are gonna come at you in some way. I sends a super chat.
Great breakdown, JF. Can't wait for the JFGX Nick Fuentes discussion.
Absolutely. That will be awesome. It will be good to reconnect with Nick. It's been a while that we haven't spoken. I was thinking about it, and last time we did an actual show, other than our little conversation on Twitter space, me and Nick, an actual full long show, was probably 2018. So it's been 8 years. 8 years that I've seen Nick. It's great to see him in his current pursuits. What else did I have to say for today? I don't know when it's going to be. It's going to be at some point in the future. We haven't set a date yet. People are pointing out the past of Joshua Fox. People have identified a guy who's appeared to be named Joshua Fox in Tennessee, who was charged with harassment before. Is it the same guy? Is it another guy? I have no way to verify. But there's the possibility that this guy, Joshua Fox, who got shot by Chad the Builder, may have been involved in some harassment. People are arguing it's not him based on picture. And he had said before, and I'll do it again. but people are saying it doesn't resemble the most recent guy that we have. Now, that was in 2008. 2008 would send us 18 years later. 18 years later, you can look much fatter. It's possible that this is the same guy, but that he just changed appearance. I don't know. So, yeah. In other news, we have Candace, who has released evidence that, you know, when the assassination attempt on Trump happened, they pushed a lot the video of Erica Kirk going out of the ballroom crying. And it was a video that was apparently so interesting that there was a message sent from the White House military office saying, you know, push this video hard. Push this video hard. There's good response to it. People love it. We want to see Erica Kirk crying as she runs out dramatically. So it's like they are planning these campaigns of public control, of public perception, in a way that's kind of disgusting. It's good that it got exposed. It looks like one of these generic AI-generated email, really, that says, those are good numbers. Let's push this. I don't know how Candace confirmed who it was coming from. Was it truly a team member of the White House? But she makes the claim, at least. That's her claim. That is it for today. And Ian Carroll also came out with a very bizarre video in which he wants to stand with Dan Bilzerian against Nick Fuentes. But he does it in such a cocked way. I'm uncomfortable. It looks like stupid dick sucking. First, stupid because he's making the argument that we don't care about having someone who's right. We care about someone who's moral. I never thought I would hear this in my career. I mean, such a shame that the public space has become so low that they're not even ashamed. They're telling you, I don't care if someone tells the truth. I don't care if he's right. I don't care about his intelligence. I care about whether he's moral. And by moral, what does he mean? By moral, he means that he agrees with us on Charlie Kirk, or he agrees with us on other subjects. I mean, literally, this is circle jerking reappearing on a Israeli critical wing of the internet. We used to be so intellectually open that everyone wouldn't have dared saying, I don't care if someone is right. It's the only thing that matters. You cannot not care about this. It's like, do these people realize how much lack of credibility they will develop for themselves by standing for this? It's like they don't even care if it's true that Israel killed Charlie Kirk. They just want to hear it. And they call this the moral position. Such a shame. And so the arguments are extremely weak in that video. And Ian Carroll says things that seem like they were written with a gun to his head. Like he says things, you know, to me, Dan Bilzerian has always been a model of masculinity, a man who has achieved the peak masculinity. So, what we're interested about masculinity now? Because, okay, I love masculinity, but since when is that an argument for Ian Carroll? And it's like, it's the argument that Ian Carroll can grab to defend Dan Bilzerian on the moment. A model of masculinity. ELDR says, Jeff, I'd like to recommend the film Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson from 2013, way ahead of its time, Primer also. Well, I have seen these two movies. First, I'm super uncomfortable with Under the Skin. It's so creepy. It's like, bro. Oh, man. This. Ah. You're giving me shivers just mentioning the movie. Oh, it's an uncomfortable movie. I don't even remember the full story, but it's an extraterrestrial beauty woman taking the shape of a human female beauty to just rape men and take their skin and become some other creature inside of them. I mean, and it's so subtle, and it's not like the Alien movies where it's more like, oh, bizarre male rape kind of vibes. This movie scares me, actually. But yeah, it is an uncomfortable but powerful movie. I don't remember exactly what's the takeaway, the lesson, but I just got traumatized by this movie. One of the few movies that traumatized me as an adult rather than as a child. As far as Primer, yes, it is the most technical time-traveling movie. Very small budget, well-made, complex story. You can rewatch this 100 times. You still won't totally understand it. Very interesting mechanism for time travel. Those are, yes, two excellent movies that are definitely special. Lauren says, is it horror? I guess it qualifies as horror, but it's not the kind of horror with high action. It's more horror in the mood. It's more like, what the fuck is happening here? That's it for tonight, boys. Much love. Thank you for being here. People were watching us also on X and on YouTube. If you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. The show needs your support to keep going on a monthly basis. Tim Dwalling says, Hi, T has always been a mover in the world, sometimes outpushing intelligent argument. It always does, but you don't want to reach the point at which you say, I don't care if someone is right. I just care if they agree with me. We'll be right back.